Missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." What sacrifices are you and I willing to make for what we believe? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, calling us to put our plans in the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about how a mother teaches trust. I told you the story the other day about the TV show that I saw on polar bears, the mother polar bear setting an example for her cubs, and the cubs, in their very awkward, stumbling way, trying to imitate exactly what she did, walking across the ice, trying to catch fish with their paws, rolling and tumbling in the snow. And every now and then, the mother bear would cuff those little cubs. She'd give them a sort of a bat with her great big paw. And she was thereby establishing authority. Now, for polar bears, survival is a pretty serious business. And so the mother bear is responsible to see that those little cubs are able to survive in what would certainly seem a very hostile environment. Nothing but snow and ice and Arctic winds. And so she takes her responsibility very seriously in teaching those cubs. In fact, unfortunately, as I watched the program, I thought that mother bear takes her responsibility far more seriously than some of the mothers that I watch sometimes. You know what it's like when you go into a brawling household. Where did I get that word? Well, I got it out of the Bible. So what else is new? Back in Proverbs, the, 25th chapter and the 24th verse, it says, "Better to live in a corner of the housetop than have a nagging wife and a brawling household." Well, I think we all know what brawling households are like. Where everything's chaos, there's a lot of noise, there's a lot of mess, there's a lot of lack of discipline, and it's not the kind of a house that most of us really enjoy visiting very much. You know how you can walk into a house and there's laundry all over the living room, there's ironing piled up on the dining room table, there are dishes in the sink, and the kids are playing games in the family room, and one of them has just gotten the vacuum cleaner out of the closet and is running it at his brother, and his brother's saying, "Hey, come on, get out of here, Mom!" And the mother is harried trying to hold the baby and feed the two-year-old that's in the high chair, and the two-year-old is rubbing applesauce in his hair, and the baby is grabbing things on the counter, and the four-year-old is pulling the toilet paper from the bathroom out into the family room. And the mother is in despair. And she says to the visitor, "I can't manage these kids. Nobody listens to me. They don't hear a word I say. They don't obey me. What can I do?" What can you do? You know, they throw up their hands. And my heart goes out to a woman like that. My heart goes out to any mother with small children. There are a thousand things that she has to think of all at once, and she's got a more complicated job, it seems to me, than the pilot of a 747 with that elaborate dashboard or whatever you call it, control panel up there in the cockpit has to think about. Among the vital lessons that that mother probably should have started sooner to try to teach is the lesson of trusting her word. The parents must learn to back up what they say by the way they live, and then with punishment or reward. They will show their trust in God by acceptance of His word as law. God means exactly what He says, and He expects us to trust Him and to obey Him, as the old gospel song says, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus." With God, truth-telling is a serious matter. Is truth-telling a serious matter in your home? Do you wink at what you call little white lies? Do you exaggerate? Do you tell little white lies yourself so that your children learn from you that truth is not really a very serious matter? Do you take merely a high view but not a strict view of truth? People say honesty is the best policy. But I would say that according to Scripture, if honesty is merely a policy, it doesn't amount to very much, does it? A policy is merely a procedure based primarily on temporal or material interest. Honesty has got to be more than mere policy in a Christian home. It's a principle. And according to Dante, and of course Dante doesn't have the last word on everything, but in Dante's picture of hell, the worst sin is treachery. And I'm not so sure but what he might be right about that. Remember what Jesus said about betraying the trust of a little child. He said it would be better for you to have a millstone around your neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. And one serious way in which adults cause little children to stumble is by dishonesty. If you've been failing in this, confess it. Tell God you're sorry. Acknowledge you're wrong. Then confess it to your children. Tell them, look, it's going to be different from now on. I've learned something. I was wrong. I must teach you how important is truthfulness. And you must be truthful with that child. If you're going to teach the principle of honesty, you must practice the strictest honesty with that child. If you tell the child that he cannot go with you wherever it is you're going, and you give him a false reason, you're lying. Perhaps it's a reason that you cannot give the child, and you simply tell the child, I cannot give you the reason. You must trust me. The first principle in disciplining a child is eye contact. Let him know that he has your attention. Speak in a normal tone. Don't raise your voice. Speak once. If the child doesn't obey, then you must follow through. Be very careful that you don't make issues of things that you do not intend to follow through. Never make a rule that you do not intend to see obeyed. I told about a young mother in my living room not very long ago whose little child was going for things on the coffee table, a very common occurrence. Some mothers can say, don't touch, and the child knows that the mother means exactly what she says. Depending on the age of the child, if the child is just in the beginning stages of learning, then it seems to me that even when you're visiting in somebody else's home, it's appropriate to spank the child's hand. If you know that there's going to be a tremendous scream, then perhaps the best thing to do is to take the child out of the room, someplace where you can administer the punishment privately. Then hug the child, explain, if the child is old enough to understand an explanation, why it's not a good idea, but don't do unnecessary explaining. The book of Proverbs is full of wisdom about disciplining children. For example, in Proverbs 29, verses 15 and 17, the rod and reprimand impart wisdom, but a boy who runs wild brings shame on his mother. Verse 17, correct your son, and he will be a comfort to you and bring you delights of every kind. Consistency is tremendously important. Chapter 30, verse 5, God's every promise has stood the test. He is a shield to all who seek refuge with him. And if you are consistent in your word to your children, you will be a refuge to them, someone they know that they can depend on, a shield. And then, if you have made a mistake, if you have failed your child in some way, I think that it's legitimate to apologize to that child. I've heard it said, never apologize to your inferiors. Well, to me, that's baloney. We do need to confess our sins, even to a child. Conceal your faults and you will not prosper. Confess and give them up and you will find mercy. Like a starving lion or a thirsty bear is a wicked man ruling a helpless people. Here are some verses which certainly ought to give us pause. There are parents who lose their temper, and children are certainly a helpless people. Like a starving lion or a thirsty bear is a wicked man ruling a helpless people. A mother teaches trust to her children, first of all, by trusting God herself, by loving Him and obeying Him, and then by teaching the children that she means exactly what she says. Remember that every experience, if offered to Jesus, can be your gateway to joy.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.